Welcome back, everybody, to Arts About.
Show about art that's a work of art in itself, or a work of art that's a show about art in itself, Sally?
Or both.
Or both.
Yes.
Brought to you by the McClellan Gallery and facilitated by the Bendigo Bank. We're in the Bendigo Bank studio.
We are.
Morning, Sally.
Good morning, John. How are you this morning?
Good.
Sabri?
Morning, gang. I'm just giggling to myself as you did your little thing.
Yes. So you're back from the desert.
Yes, I didn't end up going to the desert in that sense, but I went to the desert of palms in Queensland instead.
That's the cultural desert.
Well, I wasn't going to say that. Yeah.
Oh dear. Dumped myself in it now. And also a very good morning to Peter Swan, who is hiding behind the sliders this morning. I don't know whether he's going to say anything. I suspect he's not, but he's with us in the studio, which is very exciting. So thanks, Peter. Swanny, I should say. John, what can we expect from you this week?
I mentioned William Kentridge last week.
You did, getting drunk with William Kentridge.
Oh, I thought I might talk about that. Not necessarily about that bit, but, you know, we'll get there in the end, I guess.
All right.
Get to that little bar.
And your better half is with us also today.
Yes, so my... I've got numerous ways of describing Amanda, you know, my ever-engaging bride.
Long-suffering bride, I think she was last week.
Long-suffering bride. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes just a disturbing presence in the corner. You know?
Yes. Well, I think she's going to give us a review today of the show that we heard about last week, Limbo. Is that right?
Yep.
Fabulous. Sabra, have we got something literary from you, perhaps?
Yes, I want to drown that Tim Parks novel that I was reading, Rapids. And also want to talk about Happy Go Lucky, a film that I spied on SBS this week, which I enjoyed.
Okay, fabulous. We're going to talk today to Carol Pacciullo. She's a friend of the show and someone who has more energy than the whole lot of us put together. If she isn't running improv classes, that she's starring or directing in theatre in Melbourne or with the local theatre companies here or the high schools. She's teamed up with Anthea McKenzie, the manager of Southern Peninsula Arts Centre, to create A Woman's Place that's coming up at the end of this month. Also, this week we're going to play an interview that Will did while I was away with a very special young local photographer called Emma Phillips. And we're going to hear a little bit about her career. Obviously, Cliff will be coming in.
Obviously.
Yes, to give us some fuel for contemplation. And I would also like to say a very special congratulations to the Wakakiri team from Rosebud Secondary College, who last week won the very coveted Secondary School Challenge Story of the Year with their production, One of Us.
Well done.
Yeah, really well done. And if you don't know it, the aim of Wakakiri is to teach students about themselves and others through creating and sharing stories. And the students devise, choreograph and art direct a 3 to 7 minute performance that tells a story using dance, creative movement and acting to pre-recorded music. And they've done it. They've been in the top nominations twice in the last couple of years. And this year they've won it. And you can go and see their performance if you go onto the Wakakiri website and Google that. You can see the entire performance and you can vote for them in the People's Choice Award, which is still yet to be done. So I would recommend anybody out there, go to wakakiri.com. I'll put a link on our Facebook page and have a look at it. Because go Rosebud, that's fantastic.
Yeah, huge.
Yeah, it really is. Mm. Okay, next up we have Will Bailey's interview with local photographer Emma Phillips.
Well, I'm here with local Sorrento girl Emma Phillips, who has just returned from New York. She's a photographer and she's got an amazing story to tell. Welcome, Emma. What were you doing in New York?
I was at the New York Art Book Fair that was at MoMA, PS1.
I'm looking at your resume here and it is an extremely impressive resume, I've got to say. It's a couple of pages long and I can barely read it because it's very closely typed. Starting with Top Arts in 2007.
Mm. Yeah, that's the VCE.
That is the top talent in
VCE. Right.
You were part of that show.
Absolutely, yeah. That's probably one of the proudest things I've ever been a part of, actually, because I was so happy to be included in that exhibition.
You should be, because I go and see that show every year. We love that show, and it is an extremely high standard, and to be represented there, it was fantastic. And that was from your school, which was here on the peninsula.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That led you to study photography at university.
Right.
Your first show that I saw was Water and Land, which was at Antipodes Gallery in Sorrento, 2010.
Right.
I was very impressed. Your photos are quite different to anything I'd seen. They're like giant Polaroids. Mm-hmm. I'm actually looking at one that we have here on mm-hmm. the wall now. I love those. And they're very redolent of the sea and the sky. Mm-hmm. Since then, you have been in New York City, in Malaysia, London. You've been in China. You've been in Rome. You had a show at the Edmund Pierce Gallery in Melbourne called Salt. I guess the obvious question for me is, how does a local Sorrento girl decide to throw herself into photography as a career?
I mean, I guess for me, I just always loved photography. I always loved taking pictures and the performance and act of taking photographs and the excitement of waiting until waiting for my film.
At the chemist?
At the chemist, yeah. Waiting. My mom and dad gave me a camera, I think, for my 13th birthday. I'd go out and take all these photographs and then I'd take it to the chemist and have to wait 3 days for them to be developed. I was always so excited just before I got the film back to look at the pictures that I'd taken.
That's surprising, because that's something I've done in when I was young. But, of course, I've been shooting digitally for about 15 years mm-hmm. now. So it's interesting that someone of your age, you're only, what, 25?
25.
Yeah, we're still shooting with
right.
film.
I only shoot film, basically, because I like... I see the analog film as being more of an object than the pixels, than the numbers, the data from digital photography.
One question in particular mm-hmm. that I need to ask you is how does a local Sorrento girl get an internship, photographic internship, with Annie Leibovitz in New York, who's probably the best known and most renowned photographer in the world? How does that happen?
Of luck. Luck. I would say luck. I really just fell into that internship, and I was really lucky to as well, because it was incredibly helpful in developing my sort of the way I saw photography at that point. I was, I think, 21, so it was about 3 or 4 years ago now that I interned there. And I mean, I finished university, I went to RMIT. I decided, like a lot of people do, that I wanted to go on a holiday, take myself on a holiday. So a good friend of mine was living in New York at that time, and so I went to visit her. And I really just like met the right people at the right time. And I think in my second week, or the end of my first week in New York, I was on set with Annie and her production and photo team, and I was in shock for that entire day. I didn't know how I found myself there, basically.
So you understood who Annie Leibovitz was?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we'd studied her work at school.
It'd be like me working with Ansel Adams or
right.
something like that.
Right.
The age difference.
Right,
between
right,
us,
right, you know, right.
It'd be last century.
Right.
Beginning of. And what was it like actually working with Annie Leibovitz? I've got to ask that, because everyone else must ask you.
Yeah. I mean, it was really incredible. I mean, you really understand the hard work, the preparation, the team work as well is required to on that sort of like level of photography, and especially commercial photography. And she has a really amazing archive of images. She's taken photos that you wouldn't even know that were taken by her, like posters for the Breakfast Club and like films like that. So I guess, yeah, I mean, I guess it was really, that was sort of when my education really started.
Yeah, looking at your photos though, there's a big difference between what Annie Leibovitz
right.
does and what Emma Phillips does. So
right.
how did working with her, having an internship with her, help you to develop your style of photography?
I think when it comes down to it, just the idea of having to do anything to get the picture, you know, like for Annie, it would be... I remember we were on the top of the Empire State Building on a photo shoot, shooting an actress, and he wanted to photograph the talent from a certain perspective. So she called in somebody who had to bring a harness in. So she was hanging over the top of the building trying to take the photo. And for me, I don't do that. I take landscape photographs. So it's like going the extra mile, like maybe climbing the fence to get the photo instead of taking it from the other side, or just sort of doing anything to get the picture, basically.
Yeah, that's a great lesson to learn.
Right.
And yeah, that thoroughness.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen you shooting in the past because we've sailed together in Tasmania.
That's right.
I've seen you on the beach and I've seen you with old Polaroid cameras.
Right.
I've seen you with Holger cameras, I think, which mm-hmm. are little plastic ones. Did you ever shoot a Lomo camera as well?
Yeah.
Okay, these are little fairly cheap right. plastic film cameras, mm-hmm. what I'd call basic, fairly unrefined lenses. Mm-hmm. Pretty soft around the edges. What is it that has attracted you to that style of photography?
I think the one thing, the one driving thing behind all these, I like to use lots of different cameras, is experimentation and just going back to that idea of not really knowing what you're going to get when you take a photograph. And so I like to use a whole lot, like all these different sort of photographic techniques and processing and just that element of sort of surprise always sort of draws me deeper into taking photos and sort of maintains my interest. I get bored easily with the equipment. So, I mean, I try to experiment and to change things up as much as I can. It's getting more difficult now because materials are sort of harder to come by and film companies, unfortunately, aren't even making all of the materials that I sort of really did like to shoot.
Mm. Do you have your own dark room? Are you doing black and white processing?
Or? No, actually at the moment I'm not really shooting black and white and I don't have a dark room. At the moment my workflow is such that I shoot a medium format camera, all color film, take it to the lab.
Okay. They process it for me.
Yeah, I can send it to them. So, and they send it back to me and then I scan the negatives and I do digital prints.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. So we still have, I think at all levels of film photography, there was that digital ending in some ways, wasn't
right,
it?
Right, absolutely, yeah.
In order to enlarge and things yeah. like that. So,
yeah.
I was going to ask you what type of cameras you're shooting now, but you're still shooting all types?
No, I just bought a new camera, which about 2 months ago when I was in New York the last time, and I really love it. It's a Mamiya AFD, and I have a whole lot of different lenses. And
it's 35 mil.
It's 120.
120, yeah. Oh, even better.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm really sort of, I'm enjoying using that, and I take it everywhere with me.
I think I had a box brownie that was a 120.
Right.
Yeah, when I was a little kid. And I had then my first 35mm camera was a Kodak Retinette.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I've still got that camera.
Oh, great.
So maybe I can get you to take some shots with that.
I probably won't know how to use it.
Oh, I think it's pretty simple.
It's pretty straightforward.
Pretty basic. You have to wind the film forward and stuff, which is pretty basic anyway.
Right.
You've done some publications, mm-hmm. I think. I've got the Salt book here, which right. is very beautiful. Do you have other ones that I haven't seen?
I have handmade books that I do in really small editions that I generally don't really sell. I do them sort of more for events, like book fairs, and I don't really take them past that. There's Assault, obviously, which I self-published myself for in conjunction with an exhibition. And I just finished shooting for a book. But I don't know when it's going to be published. It's okay. It's difficult to come up with the money, and so we have to. I'm going through a publisher this time, so we have to come up with a funding plan. And
okay, because yeah. self-publishing has been an absolute boom for
right, right.
people like yourself.
Absolutely, yeah. And I was just at the New York Art Book Fair, as I mentioned earlier, and so many people self-publish now. It's sort of intimidating because there's just so much out there.
What are you working on now?
I am working on a project photographing. It's based in a town in Coober Pedy. The town have you been there?
I do. I know Coober Pedy.
Yeah.
And Broken Hill. They're two of my favourite places right. for photographing.
Half the people in Coober Pedy live underground.
Yeah. And there's a good reason for that.
Yeah. It's super hot.
Fiercely hot.
Yeah. And really cold at night.
And a lot of them are criminals that are hiding
yeah.
in Coober Pedy. This is a kind of funny question, I suppose, but I have a teenage daughter who is into drama and photography.
Mm-hmm.
Have you got any advice that you could give her about what she should do?
I guess people say this all the time, so it can get a bit old, but just keep doing what you enjoy and just don't stop, and it will take you someplace. Because I think that a lot of people decide that they like things and then they don't do them. So just do what you like and it will take you into a place that you want to be.
Have you got any shows coming up?
I have one booked in for June next year at a gallery in Collingwood, okay, in Melbourne.
Maybe we can revisit.
Yeah, we'll revisit that. It's a while off.
It's been great talking to you, Emma. Thanks for coming by. It's been lovely to see you again.
Thanks so much for having me. It's
a pleasure. So let's go back to you in the studio.
And now it's time for John On.
Thank you, Swanee. Swanee made that remark without moving his lips, I noticed, which was very
so
clever
talented,
work.
Isn't he?
Throwing his voice again.
William Kentridge.
Yes, William Kentridge.
William Kentridge is a South African artist of international repute. He's very well known around the world. And so he should be, as it turns out, because he's a terrific artist. But he started in the world of theatre and design and advertising agencies, that sort of thing. I think always had a bit of a panache for the world of image making, drafting particularly. You know, he was always good with the charcoal and the pencil, made a lot of drawings, a lot of prints. He was a printmaker and a drawer. But he hit upon this thing which really launched him around the world, which is where he makes these little films of drawings, which essentially is he'll make a drawing and then manipulate what's going on within the drawing by photographing it and then erasing part of it and photographing it and then adding something and then photographing it. And
it's the most extraordinary stop frame animation.
Well, that's what it is, stop frame animation, except that instead of having a new piece of paper every time you have a new frame, he uses the same bit of paper, so the memory of what's been there before remains like a palimpsest, I guess. They're palimpsest films. And they're quite beautiful.
They're really beautiful. They're very touching and moving. I've seen quite a lot of them.
There's a bit of melancholy attached to them, but you're right, they are touching and moving. And they're kind of vaguely politically based at times. He has his own list of techniques in order to describe something happening. I like the way that if there's a body laying on the street, for instance, you can tell that there's been a crime committed because a bit of a chalk line will get drawn around the body, and which will indicate that someone's perhaps guilty of leaving that body there. And the amount of melancholy that he can bring to a cup of coffee, I think, is just absolutely extraordinary.
Melancholy to a cup of coffee.
Well, he made a film about just a cup of coffee being filled and emptied again and the sugar being put in it and the hand moving about. And it is very sort of, it's not sad, but it sort of, there's a quiet kind of moment to it.
And of course, it's nearly all black and white, although there's a bit of colour in it, but because he's mostly
a bit of blue and
charcoal.
Red chalk gets in there occasionally.
Yeah, which is...
And so does he. I mean, he puts himself into these little films. He'll appear as a self-portrait in there. And his hand appears as the hand that's making the drawing. So that
he often draws himself drawing the drawing.
Well, drawn hand will enter the drawing and add things or even remove things, which is a clever bit of work, I reckon. We came out to Melbourne.
Yes, I didn't know that. I was so excited when you said you actually got drunk with him.
Well, he gave a lecture at ACME in Melbourne, and I went along, and I met my old drawing lecturer from RMIT there, and he said, "Well, I brought Mr. Kentridge out. I was on part of the sponsoring organisation that brought him out here, and we're going out for a drink later. Do you want to come?" And I said, "I do." So when I said I went out to Little Lonsdale Street and got drunk with William Kentridge, I'm not sure he got drunk.
But you met him. Was he just was he an incredible man? Was he a likeable
sort
man?
Of, as you'd expect, he was kind of quiet, actually.
And thoughtful.
Yeah.
Yeah, because his films certainly are, aren't they? Mm. There's lots of silence in his films.
He's exactly my age, I figured out. Not to the day, but very close.
Well, lucky you meeting him. I've seen his work in various places around the world. In fact, I think there was something at MoNA last time I was there. I'm just trying to remember. But... He was extremely prolific. I mean, there are lots and lots of his films out everywhere, aren't there?
And if you're unfamiliar with it, if you're listening to this and you're unfamiliar with it, then quite easy to go to YouTube. And if you look up Felix in Exile, William Kentridge, and most of it will come up under that title.
I'll put a little link on our Facebook page. How about
that's a good idea, isn't it?
Yeah. Now is the time for your better half, Amanda, to tell us about something that you two did last week.
Hi, Amanda. Yes.
Hello, John. You went and saw Limbo, didn't you?
We did.
With sword-swallowing Heather Holliday, who we had on the show last
week. Tiny little Heather, who I was so surprised to see swallow this knife because she's so little.
Yeah, I didn't...
As I said, swallowing a bread knife would have been absolutely compelling, but then she goes on to prove it with a lightsaber.
So yeah, that was pretty interesting.
Was it?
Well, the lightsaber shining out from within her.
Well, I was going to... Yes, could you actually see it going down her throat?
Well, down her throat,
yes. Oh, yes. My goodness. So there we had this illuminated gullet.
So you went to the Spiegel tent, which I believe is in a different position this year.
Yes.
Where is it?
It's down in the gardens on the Yarra Boathouse Drive, just near the Swanson Street Bridge there. On
the Queen Vic Garden, Sally.
Yes, okay.
The boathouse there, which is lovely. So they could provide you with a glass of champagne, and we sat on cushions out the front, being, delighted by young women saying, "Oh, are you pumped? I'm so pumped." Terribly excited to go inside. They were young circus performers themselves, so that was really exciting.
They were from a circus, weren't they?
They were in Kilsyth, and it was called Ruckus.
Ruckus.
We should look into Ruckus, John. They were thrilling. Yeah, so it was...
Well, we're well versed in Spiegel Tent. We're very lucky here over the summer to have had a small one that James McPherson bought down for us. So, how does this stand up, Limbo?
This would be 10 times the size. Not necessarily 10 times the impression, however. They had a lot of, music and dance and frivolity. This was all spectacular. This was all about the acrobatics. The contortion was extraordinary. There was a man wrapping his body inside itself and out again. And it beggared belief, truly. Mm-hmm. But the band was something else. It featured a sousaphone. And they were gorgeously described by you last week, I believe.
Oh, well, that was the brass band marching through New Orleans on their way to Berlin or something like that.
New York on their way to Berlin, which was exactly what they were. They really
the
were
music
quite
was
difficult
fantastic.
To describe.
It was terrific.
Well, she did say that was a big, huge part of it, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it was a really... You have to see it to believe it, and this band you actually have to hear to understand something completely different.
So should we all go down there, go up to Melbourne and see Limbo?
Fire eating, Sally.
Fire, I love eating. A bit of fire eating.
Yeah, fire eating and breathing and flames coming out of the stage. I looked around at one stage and at least half the audience were checking for the exit, seeing who they were going to push out of the way.
In George Costanza fashion.
When the place caught on fire.
And really there's this magnificent, completely unexpected final performance, which I really don't want to give too much away about because it is just something really special and death-defying, as is the pole climber. I mean, Spider-Man go, hey, this fellow is just up that pole and all over it. It's amazing what he can do, and then he drops to within a millimetre of the floor. It's terribly exciting. It's a must-see.
Fantastic.
Yeah, well, I can go and see it.
Oh, good. Well, I think I might do that this week. Thank you very much, Amanda.
Thank you, Sal.
Now, Sabra.
Oh, yes.
Back, a literary tale?
That's right. Back from the land of the palms. I think we were a bit harsh, Sally, saying it was a cultural desert. I'd just like to mention that I did
you
go...
You just want to sound like the good guy.
I do. I am the good guy. Well, I don't need to sound like it. It's my natural position, good. I went and saw the floating land installations and sculptures, which were on the Sunshine Coast at Boreen Point. They were just beautiful. And I also was lucky enough to go to the Sunshine Coast Art Prize, and the works there were also fantastic. So perhaps not such a cultural desert, just very selective between the palms. I just want to finish up talking about Tim Park's novel Rapids, which I've been banging on about now for a few weeks and obviously had a bit of a struggle to read it. I thought it would be exciting, and it was a lot of froth and bubble as they played around in those Austrian rapids. But ultimately it ended up being an old banker bloke who has a moment with a beautiful suicidal Italian young woman with a great tan. And lo and behold, the big banker leaves his big job so he can play around with canoes and support the young Italian woman. Oh dear, very ho-hum. Is anybody out there thinking? I can't recommend the Tim Parks novel. I'm reading at the moment Siri Hustvedt. I don't know whether people have read her work before. The Blazing World, it's a feminist art novel. It is sensational. It is so good. I'll talk about it in detail next week, but she's written a few, so I'd be rushing down the library.
What's her name?
Siri Hustvedt, a New York author, and just very intellectual and incredibly interesting, and it is this one particularly is a feminist art novel. Apart from that, I've had a little peek at television, and I watched Mike Leigh's Happy Go Lucky. Mike Leigh's often described as the Buddha of the suburbs, and this one was a little bit of a light comedy. You can get it on SBS Catch Up. Look, I really, really liked it. Mike Leigh always does a slice of life type of film, and this was much the same. The lead character in it, Poppy Sally Hawkins, was fantastic. And then we had this deranged driving instructor, Scott, who was Eddie Marsden. Picks up a little bit of violence. His films are always, I find them always really interesting, and this was interesting as well, and well worth a look, and well worth a look because it's billed as a comedy. But there was some, like I say, this little bit of violence with the driving instructor. There was a little bit of violence or anger with the fabulous flamenco dance teacher. And then the lead character, Poppy, is a primary school teacher, and we see a little bit of bullying going on. So, yeah, have a look at that. That would be my recommendation for a film, and it is a freebie on SBS. And I think that's probably it for me this week.
Fabulous. Thank you, Sabra.
Okay.
Well, friend of the show, Carol Pacciullo, joins us this morning in the studio to tell us about a project she's got going called A Woman's Place. It's an event that is taking place at Southern Peninsula Arts Centre on the weekend of the 30th of October, and it is a combination of pop-up op shops, theatre, workshops and conversation. Carol, what is A Woman's Place and why is it coming to SPAC?
Hi, Sally. Yes, it sounds like it's got everything.
Yes, it does.
Well, it started from an idea that Anthea McKenzie had, who is the theatre manager at Southern Peninsula Arts Centre, which was to have some sort of event that celebrates women in the arts. So that's sort of how it began. That was the idea. And she came up with this idea of a woman's place. What is a woman's place? And what is a woman's place on the peninsula? And how do we all fit in down here? And why have people come here? So that was kind of this little prompt that got things going. Then she asked me to be involved, and she wanted to have Button on.
Yes.
So that's like the event on the Friday night, which is a play that I co-wrote a couple of years ago.
And I think I saw its very inaugural presentation at La Mama. Was that the very first one?
There was the explorations at La Mama in 2011, which you might have seen, or you might have seen it in 2013.
I think I saw the 2013.
Yes. Yeah, so it's even grown. It just keeps developing. So this is the latest incarnation of it. And so that's on the Friday night. And then on the weekend, we have all these other events, all around the idea of storytelling and sharing stories.
Yeah, so, which is really a bit of a zeitgeist at the moment. I think everybody's realising how much we can learn and develop socially by actually sharing stories and realising and understanding a bit about other people's lives.
Mm.
So was there something that made you want to put this together? What did you sort of recognise a need, or do you see that a woman's place has a role? Is it going to galvanise people on the, you know, women on the peninsula?
I think that's what we're hoping. Yeah. I think we're hoping this will become an annual event, and it'll just get bigger and bigger and bigger, and all, you know, artists will come out of the... I mean, we know as sort of people in, I guess, in the biz, but there's a, you know, to sort of celebrate all those individuals that are out there and groups, I think, is something that we certainly hope this can perhaps sort of stimulate a sort of more of a celebration and get more people involved in more people coming to this amazing theatre that we've got.
It is an amazing theatre, that's right.
Beggar's belief, for me, I have a book club and there's still these sort of women who are theatre goers who go, where is it? And I, you know, can't believe it. Yeah.
But they don't know.
Yes.
So tell us what's happening over the weekend. I know that you've got Evelyn Crepe is doing a
story. Well, she's
tea time story.
That's
time
right.
Thing.
Because Evelyn, you may know, does Telling Tales, which has been sort of part of Seniors Week, and she did a performance just recently in Rosebud at the Italian Club. And so we thought that Evelyn would be, being a theatre worker as well, and someone who's lived on the peninsula, she'd be a great person to facilitate this morning tea sharing of stories on the Saturday morning. So Evelyn is facilitating that. We have put out a call for people to either send in their stories or bring them on the day, and we'll just share those stories over a cup of tea, and cake, coffee, whatever, and they'll be recorded. For use in a performance the following day on the Sunday, a verbatim theatre piece.
Well, just going to that then, if people haven't heard your call out already, is there still time for them to...
Absolutely. So they can either bring their story on the day or they can send it by snail mail to Anthea McKenzie at... just see if I've got the exact address here. I
tell you what, I'll put it on our Facebook page.
I have the email address, which is... do you want to just put that on? That's mckenzie.anthea@edumail.vic.gov.au.
Yeah, I'll put it on the Facebook page as well.
Yeah, great.
So that's a great opportunity for people to get involved. And that's the Saturday morning, isn't it? Or Saturday
lunchtime. That's Saturday morning, 10:30 till 12. And then Saturday afternoon we have two workshops. We have autobiographical poetry writing with the wonderful Andrea Thomas and Singing from the Heart with Colleen Reese.
Oh.
And both those events are... So they're free, so people can... You have to book, but you can just come along and join in. And then if you're wanting to, that's going to be part of the Woman's Place performance on the Sunday. So people have an opportunity to actually get up and share their stories in that way.
Have you had a response from people yet? I mean, presumably you've been working on this for months.
Mm.
Are people... Because that's a tough ask to get people to get up and tell presumably personal
that's
stories.
That's right. And I think that's why we've used the kind of the format of the verbatim theatre, because we can take their stories and perform them for them without them having to get up. But some people probably will feel okay, particularly if they've done a workshop and they're part of a group. So we've kind of... The idea is that we've covered all bases in a sense. Plus... This idea of using op shops, which I haven't really touched on.
No, tell us about the op
shop. Yeah, the op shop. Well, that came... Anthony and I just chatted about this idea of op shop. We were saying, you know, because there's so many op shops in Rosebud, you know. I go to them all the time. I love op shops, always have.
Yeah.
And we thought, wow, that's a real source of interesting characters. Not only the people that work there, these amazing women that, you know, who I keep meeting now and I'm getting into these amazing stories, you know, conversations with. So we've been recording them. Just been, would you mind if I came to your house and recorded you? Some of them are a little sort of, sure. Well, tell me more about it. So off we go. And we've got getting these incredible stories. One lady who's 90 who's been working in one op shop for 30 years. But they also have these stories of who comes in, the characters that come in and the significance of objects in op shops, you know, why people buy certain things. So that's a really fertile sort of territory.
Absolutely, or how they ended up there.
Incredible things.
And just going to butt in for a minute. Remember buying a bright lemon jumpsuit that was sort of this satiny thing at the op shop in Sorrento, and the woman who was working there saying, I think your hips are a little bit big for that, madam.
You're a slender.
I was shattered. That's what I thought. What's it to you? I want it.
That's right. You don't know what I want it for.
Have Have you worn it? And were your hips a little too big for it?
Well, possibly, but it wasn't going to stop me.
You squeezed into it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. For very fertile ground.
Yes, and we're actually, some of the op shops have got involved. They're going to actually set design, in a sense, because they're providing furniture and objets that will be sort of set up in the theatre that we'll refer to and use on Sunday for the performance. So, and Rosebud Secondary College students are going to be involved in that process as well. So.
Yes, that was going to be my next question, actually, was what is the involvement of the school? Have you been...
Yes. Well, Anthea has engaged some... There's quite a few young women that are interested in the technical side of theatre. And so we've got Ainsley Kerr, who is the technical person that works with Button. She's coming down on the Thursday to run a workshop with those young women. And then on the Friday, young women are going to actually come in and set up the space with the volunteers, some of the volunteers from the op shop. So that they will be involved in a design kind of... sense, yeah.
Brilliant.
Over the weekend.
And so how do people get tickets? What do they do?
Through the Southern Peninsula Arts Centre online. Yep. They can contact Anthea by phone, which is 5986 8402.
Yeah.
Or through the website, Southern Peninsula Arts Centre. And that'll have all the links to getting tickets.
Presumably you can come down on the day and you can come unannounced as well.
With the storytelling, because we don't want it to be too huge. I mean, although that would be wonderful, just for catering purposes. it is a booking only kind of thing, yeah. Yeah, but I don't think we'd turn anyone away,
No,
really.
Oh, good, because there's plenty of seating there.
Oh, yes.
It's very exciting, and I assume that you intend for the event to keep running on.
Right. Yeah, this is a pilot event, and hopefully next year it'll just get bigger and better and bigger.
There been any council funding? Has they helped you a little bit?
Yes, the council. We must acknowledge. The council has actually helped the op shop, the pop-up op shop and the storytelling session has been, assisted by Mornington Peninsula Shire.
Well, it's very exciting. Woman's Place is on at the Southern Peninsula Arts Centre all over the weekend, beginning October the 30th. Friday, October the 30th. Button's on first, yes. And then there's a series of workshops and stories and everything over the weekend. Get onto this Southern Peninsula Arts Centre website. I'll try and put a link on to the emails and different things that Carol's mentioned today. Thank you very much, Carol Pacciullo, for coming in. You must be incredibly busy because you're doing so much. I didn't realise there was also a book club because I know you do improv and you're always directing with the Dreamhouse Theatre Company and so on. So thanks for making time in your busy schedule to come in today. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Sally.
Once again, it's that very special time in the show where our mentor, columnist, actor, agitator and fabulous, fabulous person, just generally speaking, Cliff Allen, walks into the studio. Good morning, Cliff.
Good morning, Sally. Good morning, John. Good morning, Sabra.
Morning, Cliff.
Who's that in the control booth?
You know very well who that is.
God's truth, you must be desperate. Goodness me.
He means Swanee, everybody.
I know.
Oh, dear.
Well, there's not much to talk about today, is there? It's been a big, the arts festival in town? Who's in it? Desdemona. Thank God that finished.
Oh, really?
Slow motion Shakespeare. It's bad enough in normal pace, but slow motion. Oh, what a load of rubbish.
Okay.
Supposed to be fantastic. Forget it. It's
Desdemona,
gone anyway.
No good. Thumbs down for Desdemona.
Well, it's gone to the Sydney Festival if you want to whip up the Sydney sort of thing. I like The Dresser. Was it The Dresser, the new movie that starts this week, last week?
Oh, which one?
Jocelyn Moorhouse. What was that name?
It is The Dressmaker.
The Dressmaker.
Yeah.
She directed it and wrote it. She's one of the geniuses of our industry. She's not often I'll tell you about a good director. This lady's fantastic.
Is she?
Yeah. I can't remember what she's done. She did Proof, if you ever saw the movie, which I was in.
Oh, yes.
But you had to watch
Proof
right
was
at the finish.
Film. Wasn't Swanee as good
worked
as Gorky
on that,
Park.
Apparently.
No, Gorky Park was better.
Did you hear that? Swanee worked on Proof.
Did he? Yeah, didn't you see me? Hands. I was a cemetery caretaker. I had to roll a cigarette on camera. I mean, that's not easy. Fortunately, this was a result of my years as a poor person. What have we got here? My hands are bad. Sean McAuliffe, what was he?
Oh, yes, the new PM, the ex-PM. What do you think about that?
well, I've got to be careful, don't I? I mean, he did give me a part in Mad as Hell, so I've got to be nice. But really, it was very slow and not really that funny.
I thought it was tragic, and I love him.
You give it another couple of episodes sort of thing. Did I make any notes on that?
Yeah.
No. Ah, did you see The Beautiful Lie on the ABC? A million people watch that. Did anyone see it?
No. I did.
What do you do on Sunday nights? Do you all have a late dinner and drink wine?
The Beautiful Lie? Remind me, because it's the title, I'm feeling like I did watch it and I can't think what it was. What was it?
I don't know. It was written by Alice Bell and Jonathan Gavin, based on Tolstoy's Anna Karenina, which, of course, puts me off straight away. I mean, it's a bit like me doing a painting and saying, you know, I'm adapting it from Seagal.
Well, I mean, why not?
Yeah.
I have done that very thing myself.
Be careful.
Of course, be careful what you say, Cliff.
Yeah, I know, and I remember somebody doing all the Monet stuff too, a famous theatre director whose name escapes me. But no, look, it puts me off. Anna Karenina is just, it's got to be one of the best half dozen books I've ever read. And
Along with Gorky Park.
No, Gorky Park was a movie.
That's a book as well.
Yeah, I know, but I haven't read the book. I've only
you just
seen
love
the movie.
The film.
Yeah. There is a book. What's that book? I can't remember. Oh, look, there was a show, PS122, at the Hub, North Melbourne Town Hall.
Yes.
I think that's where the Hub is now. It's gone.
There's a Hub, a place called the Hub down on the Yarra, on Boathouse Lane, there where the Spiegel tent is there on the water.
Yes, I think that is the Hub now.
Yeah.
I think the Hub has moved.
So the Fringe Festival has a Hub in North Melbourne, and the Melbourne Festival has a Hub of its own.
Yes.
Which is on the river.
It used to be in the Melbourne Town Hall. Sorry, Cliff.
No, sorry,
I know it's
hard
section.
To get a word in here. The Hub was the old North Melbourne Town Hall. But PS122, which I saw, by the way, which was fantastic.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it's gone now. It's sort of an off Broadway thing from America. And I've made my note. It made our avant-garde look like a cottage industry. It was fantastic. I've got a book for Sabra to read.
Mm-hmm.
Joyride by John Lahr, L-A-H-R. Remember him? He's the son of that famous comedian The Scarecrows. The Scarecrow. Lead me to it. Lead me to the name of the movie.
Joyride. I don't know. Oz.
The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, okay.
That was Swanee. I hate to have to, you know, be remembered by Swanee. That's all. Oh, no. Today.
What?
There's a health and well-being thing out at the Mornington Racetrack.
Oh,
an expo.
Yes.
Yes, I'm going to that this afternoon. So
Because
I want to know what well-being means.
Do you?
I don't
know
what
it means. Some of that stuff. I want to get me some well-being.
You can all tell me what well-being means. I have no idea.
Well, we'll find out this afternoon. How about we all go along and have a look?
Did you go to the...
yes, that was lovely. You're talking about the Main Street Festival.
Yeah,
I didn't see you there.
Did you catch up with your Russian girlfriend?
No, I think she's given me the flick. Is that it?
No.
I nearly said the bottom, but the flick. Yeah. Thank God, eh?
Oh, no, I thought you were quite... You two told us you were flirting with her last week.
I did that for interest, but I'm not really flirting.
Oh, okay.
No.
I think she might have gone to Noosa. There was a lot of Russian tourists in Noosa. So.
And she was a bit too old for me. She was 40, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Cliff.
Well, if you're going to have a go, you might as well have a go with somebody younger.
I feel like a failure.
You ever seen that female comedian? She's about 33, a blonde girl, American girl. She calls herself a sex comedian. I can't think of her name. Schumann?
Amy Schumer.
Yeah.
Oh, she's good. She's good.
She is very
good. She's a big girl, about my style. But anyway, we won't go into that because what's this? This is a good show. Sorry.
Yes, this is a good show. Yeah. And now that we know you're going to the Wellbeing Expo this afternoon, I'm not going to ask you that question. What I am going to ask you is, what would you like to hear this afternoon as you wend your way out the studio door?
anything that's well known instead of your famous songs that nobody's ever heard of.
Oh, all right. Well, what about the Andrews Sisters with Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy then, for example?
Oh, that'll do. Yeah, I like the Andrews Sisters. I don't know them personally, but I always like them. I'm going, am I?
I think you are, yeah.
It's just as well because I can't read my notes. I've got quite a bit to say, but I'll say it next week.
Great to have you in, as always.
George Orwell, 1984.
Oh, yes, okay. Should we go and
try
see that?
See you, Cliff.
Better than that silly, what was it, Tim Robbins or someone bought it last
night. Good luck with the well-being.
Mm. I can't wait. Might give you girls there. Bye.
Well, that's our show, everybody. I hope you've enjoyed it. We certainly have. It seems to have gone past in a flash, doesn't it, John?
Seems to indicate that time, in fact, is not a linear thing.
No, apparently it's not. It's all over the place.
You just pop up and down in a field somewhere.
Yeah, or not.
Yeah.
We should all remember, of course, that A Woman's Place is coming up at SPAC all weekend of the October the 30th to the 1st. And you can experience pop-up op shops, stories, workshops and more.
I've got it written here.
Mm.
Australian Galleries, John Anderson's show is coming up. It's opening on the 27th of October. He's fabulous, John Anderson.
Yes, I know. I want to go up and see that. It's in Collingwood, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, it's at...
Australian Gallery in Collingwood. Derby Street, Collingwood.
Let's go up to that. Let's do it. Let's go together.
Let's do a live show from John Anderson's Oak Marble.
Hey, John, if you're listening, watch out. We're coming up. Now, I said last week that we were going to have John Cunningham on, the new gallery, McClellan Gallery director. He couldn't make it this week, but he's coming in next week. So I'm really looking forward to that. He sounds like a really great, interesting man.
Salander Refuse.
Yes.
At the MPRG.
Yes, 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 it is.
Yeah.
And in conjunction with the Salander Refuse is an exhibition. There is a series of artist talks, and Ivan Durant is going to be one of them.
Okay.
Shannon Smiley and Paul Borg. It's on Sunday, 8th of November. I suggest you go onto the Mornington Peninsula regional website and find out about that, because I'm sure bookings are important.
And the Auspicious Arts Incubator are presenting A Secrets of Success. We all need those. On November the 7th at Safety Beach Yacht Club. I think it's being sponsored by the Mornington Peninsula Shire. And it looks like it's 8:30 to 9. It's an all-day workshop. And I would say have a look at the Shire site to get some more information on that.
And have a look at the view while you're down there.
And definitely have a look at the view.
That's right. Merrick's House is a new exhibition featuring Abby Harrington, Feathers and Fur, it's called. And it's opened already and it's going to be on until November the 5th.
Mm. Feathers and Fur. It sounds like going out in the laundry when the cat's been busy.
Yes, yes, it does. Gilbert and George have an exhibition coming to Mona, which I'm very excited about. I really want to go down there.
Sally, you keep going on every week about it. It's a countdown. And I'd like to just briefly mention that there's a surrealist art exhibition on at the National Galleries in the city, and I love to have a look at that.
So it's
on for quite a while. Yeah, Australian surrealists.
Gleeson and all those. Yeah, okay, fantastic. Yeah. Well, if you've missed the show, you've missed the show. Catch up on Arts About via podcast, which should appear in the station website sometime on Monday, but you can also listen to a repeat on Wednesday at 12.
Don't forget podcasting.
No, podcasting is good. Have you ever podcasted us?
I have podcasts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. I've got a podcast, the one that Will did about
the Cosmonaut.
The Cosmonaut. I haven't heard that yet.
He's quite keen on you, that Cosmonaut.
So I hear. Well, you'll find a link to all of those things we talked about today on the Facebook page. Thanks again for listening to Arts About. Join us again next week, 11 o'clock on Sundays. And remember, everybody, we may not know everything about art.
We know what we like. Allegedly.
Allegedly.